come, let us go down. Confound their language. That's the word Babel. That they may not understand one another's speech. Kind of hard. Hey, do you understand? See, I'm trying to proselyte you into the cult and get you over here on old Nimrod's side. He's a mighty hunter of men's souls. Before the Lord. Nimrod is before the Lord Jehovah. Now, it's going to be awfully hard for me to proselyte you and convert you to the religion of Nimrod on the plains of Shinar if I can't understand your language. I've lost my big missionary pitch. We don't speak the same, but God confounded their languages. Now, Nimrod died. Now, let me tell you about the cult. The secular writings of the cult say that when Nimrod died, Semiramis was afraid she would lose her position. See, he was king. And she was afraid that she wouldn't be able to control the people and rule. She wanted to rule. Now, Nimrod, as you should have gathered from our study, he was a black. And we have found in archaeology ancient statues of Nimrod. He's got leopard skin on. He's very African. Very flattened nose, large, you know, the larger nostrils that some of the Africans have. He was very African. Kinky hair. She was a white woman. Now, the Bible doesn't teach against that. That's probably going to make a bunch of you angry, but I just thought I'd tell you that. The Bible doesn't teach against that. That's what your mother taught against and your denomination taught against. All to the glory of God, of course. That's because they won't fess up and face up to the fact that within Adam and Eve was the DNA. And all the Adam and Eve's kids, Genesis chapter 5, verse 4 says they had many children. Honey, they had rain. They was like a rainbow over their house. But once the flood was over and God confounded their languages, Semiramis then invented the story that Nimrod, listen to this, because here's where all of Baal worship begins. It was there at the tower. That Nimrod, as spirit, had become one with the sun. How about that? And that the sun was now, Nimrod had become deified. In his lifetime, he was deified by the people. They worshipped him as a god and her as a goddess. Now, that shouldn't shock you. Here in our lifetime, the same thing has happened in Japan. The emperor was worshipped as God. Listen, the Romans were just as intelligent as you. Your IQ is no higher than theirs, and they worshipped the Caesars as gods. Now, so what I'm saying is, intelligent, well-educated people will worship a man as God. The whole world's about to do it very soon. His name is the Antichrist. We don't know his other name yet. Well, I know one of them, the Beast. But I don't know his name yet. I don't plan to ever know it. I plan to be gone before I know it. Okay? But she said Nimrod had been incarnated in the sun, become one with the sun. Now, she had a problem. She got pregnant, unmarried. They had one big trouble in their religion with Nimrod trying to get him deified. The baby came out white because she had a baby by a white man. And they named him Tammuz. And you can find his name in the book of Ezekiel in chapter 8. Tammuz. His mother was the queen of heaven. His dad was Nimrod. Well, not really. But that's what they claimed. And she claimed, can you believe it? It was an immaculate conception. She had had intercourse with old Nimrod who came to her in the night as a spirit. Why not? Half of you in here believe that kind of garbage. You say, not me, Brother Floyd. I'm uptown. I'm a good Christian. I read the Bible. You do believe it. Half of you in here at least believe that in Genesis chapter 6 that fallen angels had sexual intercourse with women and produced giants. And that is a myth. That's mythology. It is not truth. Because the Bible teaches angels are sexless beings. Jesus said, in heaven, you'll be like the angels. You don't get given in marriage. There's not one case in the Bible of any angels being born. Angels are all created beings. They do not generate other angels. That is not truth. It is not true interpretation of Scripture. It is Greek and Roman mythology. It is cultic mythology that has invaded the church. And we believe it and teach it in Sunday school. We've been poisoned by the cult. They have foisted their doctrines on us, and we think it's Christian. In other words, the boy was Nimrod reincarnated. Even though Nimrod was one with the sun, Nimrod also had come back now and was this boy, reincarnated. Well, now, the bad part about that, if that's true, see, if this is her husband come back, guess what she had to do with that boy when he got a little older? Marry him. It's old Nimrod. See, she didn't think about that. She had to marry the boy because he's her husband reincarnated. You got it? You got it. So now we have incest. And the story gets worse. All the stories you have ever read in Greek and Roman mythology and all the other mythologies around the whole world are stories about those two people from their real life that over the years got it built up, expanded upon, and in other words, Nimrod was a great swimmer. So all the stories about Neptune are just stories that started off about him that were true, that got... he could run fast, Mercury, Hermes. He could, see, because he's got to, y'all. He's God. I mean, nobody can outrun God, right? If this guy's God, we're going to worship him. Who can outrun God? You better not outrun him. You won't outrun him but once. Now, and about her. He was a mighty hunter, the stories of Apollo. Okay, and as time went on, the myths and legends changed where you began to lose touch with the original base of the thing, where it became more than one god. Then it became many gods, when they originally were all stories about the same people, and they just got bigger and bigger and bigger. The first little antichrist that tried to rule the world, and God stopped him with languages. Okay, now, I'll just throw this out for you. When Tammuz got grown, he went out on a boar hunt, and a boar gored him. And he was left by the people thinking he was dead. And of course, you know, the cult doesn't bury you in the ground. They leave you up on the poles. Well, he came too. Back at the ranch, everybody was mourning for their god that had died. But don't worry, he's coming back through reincarnation, they think. And sure enough, 40 days later, he shows up back in town alive. Praise God, it's a miracle. He's been raised from the dead, the resurrection. Now, being Tammuz, you understand that the symbol of Tammuz that he adopted was this, the capital T, the Tau, the counterfeit Messiah. So they began to observe Lent for 40 days. Lent, y'all, Lent has nothing to do with the Bible. You don't find that when Moses went up for 40 days or when Jesus fasted 40 days, this isn't the kind of thing that they were doing. Lent has always been part of the cult, where they gave up things for old Tammuz that had come back from the dead. Oh, they had all kinds of things to celebrate his resurrection. They colored eggs as symbols of new life. I mean, here's an egg, and all of a sudden, there comes a life out of it. And so that became one of his symbols. Haven't you ever wondered what Easter eggs have to do with Jesus and the resurrection of Jesus? They don't have anything to do with it. It's the feast of Ishtar. Ishtar. That's another name for the... See? Ishtar is Semiramis' name in Babylonian. See, they said, well, he can't die. He'll live forever. And so they got his symbol that they put on his flag. It was an evergreen tree. In a few moments, it'll finally hit you. Have you ever wondered what a Christmas tree's got to do with Jesus' birth? Do you ever read? I mean, have you read the Bible yet? Have you ever read anything about a Christmas tree being there at Bethlehem? Now, I'm not telling you can't have a Christmas tree. I'm just telling you it hadn't got anything to do with Jesus. The cult got you and made you feel so good about it. And in fact, you can read about it in Jeremiah. They tell you in Jeremiah how they did it. So they go out and find a good evergreen tree. I think it's chapter 10. It says, and they cut that rascal down. And then they take some wood and nails and nail it down where it'll stand up. And it says, then they put bright gold and silver on it to make it shine and look pretty. Now, what those represented in the cult were the spirit beings. See, there's the tree. See, the evergreen, it's nothing but a pyramid. It's the pyramid. And all the little lights on it, this is you working your way up through all the little demon angels and everything to get to the top. But see, listen to me. See, you just got born one day and you didn't know what was going on, and Mama did it and Daddy did it, so you did it. Because, I mean, everybody knows Mom and Dad's a good old boy and girl. And well, that's what happened to Mom and Dad. They didn't know any better either. See, nobody knows what's going on except the boys at the top of the cult. Just a little inner esoteric circle. And so you turn on your lights gorgeously and beautifully and everything. And so we're worshiping exactly. And so then after it dries, see, they leave it like that for a while. And then after a while, when it all dries out and the leaves die off, everything, then they trim it down and make a good idol out of it. So you guys can kneel in front of that idol. When God told you in the second commandment, he didn't say, hey, he said, don't even make one. You go back and read in Exodus in chapter 19 and 20 again and read the Ten Commandments and read it for yourself. You'll find out God said, don't even make one, much, much less bow down. He said, don't even make it. So it's hard to bow down to something you hadn't made. Now, I want to tell you Christians here, they worship this tree. We do too sometimes, don't we? What does Christmas really mean to you? Is Christmas to you what's around the tree, the presents, the possessions? Is that what Christmas is really about to you? Then you're worshiping just like the cult has always worshiped, and there's no difference. Now, you can have a Christmas tree, what I'm saying, and not worship like the cult. But you got to watch, you know, search your heart. What does Christmas really mean? Or are we just, you know, dupes at the bottom of the pyramid, don't know any better, and are actually worshiping old Nimrod and Tammuz and what they got started? Now, I could talk to you about Nimrod and Tammuz for the next 3 hours, literally. Many people have taught over the past that this great whore that has slaughtered the saints is the Roman Catholic Church, and the beast is the Pope. Well, that's not completely true. There's a lot of truth to that. Most of you in here with the Catholic, from the Catholic Church, you probably don't know. You probably think Adolf Hitler was pretty bad since he killed 6 million Jews, and I would have to agree with you, he was pretty bad. But I want you to know that the greatest persecutor of all time that I know anything personally about was the Roman Catholic Church. During the Inquisition, which lasted between 150 and 200 years, the Roman Catholic Church murdered between 50 and 60 million people. I'm not talking about wars. I'm talking about murdered them. Many were Jews, and Jews in Spain, for example, in that area that would not accept baptism. See, the Catholic Church taught salvation through water baptism even back then. And they issued an edict that all Jews in Spain would have to get saved. How? By being water baptized. And every Jew that would not accept water baptism was either put to death or forced out of the country, and all their goods, their farms, their stores, their money, their bank accounts were taken over by the Roman Catholic Church. That's a simple matter of history. You can go to any library anywhere in this town or anywhere in the state and read on it in volumes. All right? It's a matter of history. Now, please, you Catholics in here, understand something. You didn't do that. You didn't do it. It's not your fault. I told you that not to hurt your heart, but to help deliver you from the sin of pride, to thinking your denomination, as your people tell you, is the only voice of God on this planet, some voice of God. Not one pope to this day has ever repented for the heinous sins of that period. Oh, they'll say things like this. It's true the church made some mistakes in the past. Mistakes? Dear God, calling the massacre of 60 million peoples a mistake. They ought to be ashamed to even look in the mirror. Neither has in any way, form, or fashion that church ever apologized. Beloved, do you know it's hard to be forgiven of a sin until you repent? It really is. Now keep in mind what I hope you all understand what I just said. I don't hate Catholic people. I absolutely hate the organization that butchers people and then claims to be the voice of God. Now I want you Catholics to know something. Quite a few millions of those people that got butchered were Roman Catholics. They got turned into the Inquisition by other Catholics who wanted their possessions, and delivered them to the Inquisition on trumped-up charges. So let me tell you what I'm saying is, there's a bunch of Roman Catholics that don't like the Roman Catholic system either. They paid for it with their blood. Now, before this is all over, we'll understand that not too many organizations can claim that they have pure hands. Okay. But no. The Pope and the Catholic Church are not this whore.
Many of the leaders in that organization are members. But then there's a lot of Baptists that's members of this whore. There's a lot of Pentecostals that are members of this whore. How many of you know you can be a Baptist and not be born again? How many of you know that you can be a Pentecostal and not be born again? Now, to briefly sum that up, let me just say this. When the rapture of the church occurs, the true church, those that have been born again, those that have accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior, everyone in the Catholic Church that's left on this planet, don't you understand, will be lost, Roman Catholic. The name, see, Catholic doesn't mean saved. See, how many words have a way of changing? Look, you go over to Lebanon today, and you run into people, and they are members of the Christian Democratic Party. Now, that doesn't mean you're a Christian. That means that's your political affiliation. And there's a big difference between being a Christian, a biblical Christian, and being a member of a political party that calls himself something, something, Christian. So understand that once the rapture occurs, every Baptist left in the Baptist church is lost. If he'd been saved, he'd been raptured. So what I'm saying is, beloveds, if I ever say something strong toward the Baptist church, I want you to understand that the Baptist church will be part of Mystery Babylon the Whore. And so will the Lutheran church, the Presbyterian church, the Episcopal church, and the Catholic church. All that didn't make the rapture, that are left in those churches, do you see what I'm getting at? They will easily have no trouble agreeing. I mean, after all, they already disagreed that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, else they would have been saved. Now, they may intellectually believe that, that it's that's a fact. That's right. But it's one thing to know something and believe something intellectually. It's another thing to commit your soul and life to that. So what I'm saying is, do you see, once all the real church has been taken out of planet Earth, what's left of the Baptist church, it won't be the Baptist church you loved anyway. I hope you didn't fall in love with those stained glass cathedrals. And, surely you didn't love the pipe organ. And things like that. Surely the thing that you loved was the fellowship of Jesus Christ and the fellowship of the saints, your fellow believers. Well, they're with you. Jesus is going to be with you.